download from Triple J.
For more music, current affairs, comedy and culture, triplej.net.au.
And now...
Triple J.
Triple J.
Triple J.
Triple J Mornings with Zan.
I grew up on a steady diet of, like, Pavement and Dinosaur Jr. and before that a lot more questionable stuff. But I think all of us were already listening to a lot of things. Like, I'm a massive fan of, like, Peaches and La Tigra and stuff like that. And we all really like Robin, Cyndi Lauper and things. So I think it was maybe just going for a different part of the musical pool that you've been listening to. Yeah, I think at the time it was quite exciting because it was, like, a new and different thing to what we've been doing. I've always been in bands with guitars, drums, bass, and singing in a band without live drums and without guitar amps is kind of weird. But it's been refreshing. We're all kind of enjoying doing something a bit different from what we're used to.
Does it feel like headphone music, both as a listener and a producer, when you're in the studio? Are you putting a lot of things through the headphones instead of through the amps?
I think that, like, we try as much as possible to make it feel a bit more organic, and that's probably is because of the indie guitar band background that we come from. And especially in the live show, we were kind of aware of the fact that technically they could send me off with a laptop and it would just be like karaoke. But I don't think that's anything that any of us are interested in, because I kind of feel if you're going to charge people to come see a live show, you should actually bother to make it a live show. So other than like some samples and a drum track, the rest of it is all played live on synths and bass and guitar and things like that. So I think it's very important to us that it be an actual performance in that regard.
You're all responsible for the music, but who's responsible for the stories on this record, for the lyric writing? Is that a group process as well?
It's something that kind of began as a group process, and then it's really Lauren's come at the fore with the lyrics on this record, just because, I mean, she has a strong writing background. And whilst everything is collaborative to an extent, we discuss things and we talk about lines and we try to understand the tunes. It's really Lauren's ball on a lot of levels.
So in that regard, are you building a song when it comes about from lyrics, or is it more writing off the sounds that are happening to then create the story?
We start with like a sound or a sample or a beat at first, and then we'll write the song as a kind of instrumental sketch, and then we'll make a rough melody and then the lyrics come after. But there's quite a lot of scope for kind of changing how things scan on a line and stuff like that. So yeah, it's not like we come in on a day and we're like, today we will write a song about romance. I think it's kind of like, yeah, I don't know, I think it's like you always kind of like think of like little lines or an idea and you can write it down and wait. I have a little book where I write down things when I think of them in case I can forget about it and I can't think of anything better. So then like when we have a song that we need to do stuff with, I have a look through the book, and usually it's like a line or two, and then you can kind of write off of those.
When you started getting a lot of attention for the first single, did it change what you were thinking about writing, knowing that there were so many more ears listening?
I don't think so. I think we've all been pretty careful, although we're aware of the fact that a lot of people are listening to it, which is really great. We're trying to keep ourselves removed from that to an extent, because I think if you start altering what you're writing because of who might be listening to it, then you're not really being very genuine, and I think it kind of dilutes what you're doing, even if it's not like a purposeful thing, even if it's like an accidental thing. Yeah, and I think that if we were like, oh, more people are listening to us, maybe we should write more like shiny, happy love songs, then I think I would probably just go to bed and quit the band.
Actually, it's that classic thing of, well, the mother we share is connected with people, or recover is connected with people. There's always going to be those bands that think, well, let's go and write five more of those, because that's what people want. And I think as soon as you start thinking in those terms, you're probably on dangerous ground creatively. So we just try to stay as level-headed as possible and ban Twitter from the studio, that sort of thing.
Yeah, do you shut out the online world where, with all that buzz?
Wherever possible. I mean, there's times, like around song releases and stuff like that, it's very difficult to ignore. Coming to shows and seeing people, like human beings in the flesh, responding to your music is way more rewarding than trawling the internet.
Plus, although like the feedback has been overwhelmingly positive, the internet is a weird, dark place for secretly nasty, insert rude word, here's. So yeah, I guess I was like, I wonder if those people exist in real life and they'll come to the show and like stab us. But so far no.
I wanted to ask you a bit about Recover because I love it so much, and I just wanted to know if there was any sort of backstory in it. Feel free to not share your innermost feelings of heartbreak or powering on, but what is the story behind Recover?
I have a horrible yet annoying policy whereby, not because I'm so precious about it, but I don't really like to tell people what the songs are about for me personally, because I think it kind of ruins it. Mm. Like, I remember reading an interview when I was a teenager about a song I really enjoyed, and I was like, oh. When I found out it was actually about, I was like, I have completely misread this. This could no longer be all sentimental for me because it's about something totally different. I guess the trick with lyrics is trying to make something that's personal to you but is universal enough that the sentiment of it or the vibe of it resonates with people. Mm-hmm. I think that's the ultimate goal. I don't know if we've done that yet, but, you know, it's early days.
It's a classic heartbreak tune. It's totally got that universal appeal. Will there be more personal stories? Not to ask you about the personal stories, but will there be that kind of heartfelt vibe across the rest of the church's debut record?
I would hope that everything we're doing is heartfelt and genuine to a point. I think if there came a day where we were writing something that we didn't really believe in, then that would probably be a sad time indeed. Mm. So, yeah.
I think there's a few nasty lyrics on the record. And this is something that's often like a reaction to the music, to the sweetness of the vocal melody or Lauren's voice. With the production, we'll twist it harder and harder and harder and try to make it bigger and more distorted. Mm. And Lauren's lyrical delivery and Lauren's lyrics can be a bit edgier and a bit nastier, for lack of a better word, just because it kind of centres everything for us. If it was sweet melody, a sweet voice, then saccharine lyrics and Rihanna production, we wouldn't be in a place that we wanted to be.
Yeah. There's a lot. I think there's a lot of melancholy and darkness in the lyrics on the album, which is kind of what we like.